AM 560, The Answer. From the local youth hockey rink to the ultimate stage of professional ice hockey arenas, you are on the air with In the Crease and your host, Kenny McCutton, professional ice hockey skating and skills coach, bringing you into the arena and into the world of ice hockey. Brought to you by Coco 5, hydration and performance powered by all-natural coconut water and Garden Fresh Market, the world's best produce delivered fresh to their stores 7 days a week. And now, In the Crease. With your host, Kenny McCutton.
You are on the air and in the crease with your host, Kenny McCutton, the Chicago Wolves skating and skills coach. My guest for tonight is Jane Makita, the daughter of Chicago Blackhawk great Stan Makita. I know the Makita family personally, and I'm so pleased to be doing this show. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Kenny. Thank you.
When I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, you were quite interested in doing this show, talking about your dad as a player and a family man and what's happening today?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity.
That means an awful lot to me. Your dad came over from Europe, from Czechoslovakia, as a young man at 8 years old, ended up in St. Catharines at 8 years old, and was adopted by his aunt and uncle. What transpired there?
My aunt, well, we consider them grandma and grandpa. They couldn't have children of their own. So they adopted a child from my grandpa, which was Joseph Makita, and my grandma Anna from her side. And so my aunt in Canada and my dad were not technically biologically blood relatives, but absolutely to this day, we are all one big family and consider them as if they were, you know, blood relatives. So they were, that's when they were. And my aunt from Canada is Czechoslovakian as well, or Slovak.
Mm-hmm.
So she was adopted from there as well.
Did you make it back as a family going back and forth to meet them?
To Canada?
Yeah. No, to Czechoslovakia at that time.
To meet my dad's biological parents?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
yes, my dad's biological father passed away of a cerebral hemorrhage when my dad was probably right after he came over, maybe in his early teens. And my grandma was still living over in at the time, which was Czechoslovakia.
Well, I know that probably led into the beginning with his hockey because he had a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he had a difficult time speaking English.
Correct.
And as a young boy, I'm sure he was bullied a bit. And then his days with St. Catharines as a junior hockey player came very, very early at 16 years old. And he's been in that Blackhawk family for many years.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So I know players took advantage of him during his St. Catharines days by calling him a displaced person and this and that. So I think that bothered him a bit throughout his career.
I'm sure it did. That, you know, I don't know if you know the story that Stan and Bobby have known each other since they were
high school.
Before that, like 12 and 13, maybe.
They played football together.
They played football, uh-huh, and they skated together on the outdoor. Well, I guess it was when they were with the TPs was when they originally first met. But
I can't imagine your dad playing football at 130 pounds maybe back then.
I know.
Because he played at, what, 165, 170?
Exactly, yeah. I think his card said 172, but I don't think he ever weighed that much.
He broke in 1958 at the age of 18 years old, and my gosh, he had to be scrappy right from the get-go, and he said in order to be in the league, he had to have that chip on his shoulder and be chippy.
Apparently. That's the stories I've heard and read. And
and he learned early. His first left winger was Ted Lindsay,
mm-hmm,
which is pretty scary.
Yes, and I think Ted gave him a couple of pointers to not go after Mr. Howe after a couple of stories that we've heard.
Is that true?
Yeah. They were playing Detroit, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but my dad hit Gordy, and my dad, everybody on the bunch said, you better watch out. He's going to come after you. And next couple shifts, they go out, nothing happened, and it was towards the end of the game, and Gordy hit my dad hard. And my dad didn't know what hit him, went to the bench, and somebody said, did you get the number of the train that hit you, and just in case? It was Gordy.
Well, I know a Gordy Howe story, and we're going to jump a little bit, but it had to do with Keith Magnuson.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Gordy warned your dad to tell the redhead to slow down a little bit. This is in the early 70s or maybe late 1969. And he told your dad, tell the redhead to slow down, otherwise I'm going to hurt him. Well, I guess your dad did say something, but instead of Gordy Howe going after Keith Magnuson, he knocked out Cliff Coral.
Oh,
that is a true scoop.
Really?
Yes.
I've never heard that.
So that was Gordy's way of letting everybody know, you know what, stay away.
Absolutely.
Now, going back into his early days, after Ted Lindsay taught him a trick or two, Bill Gatsby was quoted as saying that he was a miserable little pain. He would spear you. He would spear you in the back of the calf when you'd go behind the net. He would do everything and chirp you all the way back to the bench. So Bill Gatsby didn't like him.
I find that interesting because I have three boys and they do some chirping now on the ice.
Oh,
and
really?
I never knew where they got it from. And my mom just recently said to the
two. They came from Grandpa.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
Well, what you're going to have to tell them early is you can't change the minds of an official.
Trust me, I've told them.
That goes to a story, too, with your sister Meg. When Meg was like 5 or 6 years old, mm-hmm. I knew this story from the family, but I read it the other day that when your dad came home from a road trip, she says, "Dad, why are you always in the penalty box? And or why is that referee in that striped shirt always leading you to the penalty box?" And your dad kind of straightened out his career, going from a player that wielded a stick around to winning the Lady Bing, which is a player that plays a cleaner game.
And 2 years in a row, my sister asked him that, and she said, "Why are Uncle Bobby and Uncle Monzi and all of our quote unquote uncles sitting on one side?" And my dad realized that if a 5 or an 8 year old, I guess she was five, if a 5 year old can see that, then a 25-year-old should realize it. So then he turned his act around and won all three of them 2 years back to back, and no one else has ever done that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of magazines. I mean, I'm a big collector of old magazines, hockey magazines, and I went through them, and there was an awful lot of writers, whether it be in the Hockey Pictorial or the Hockey Illustrateds, that were against your dad for changing his career. They were like, "This is not the same Stan Mikita," but he was still racking up points. But they thought he wasn't playing the all-around game that they were used to, being dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Ray was the only one, his head coach at that time for many years, was the only one that supported him, said he was probably the greatest center for the two-way game that he'd ever seen, and he wanted to see the new Stan.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was a great quote from Billy Ray early.
Great man, too.
Yeah, talking about your early uncles, the famous line called the Scooter Line was made up of Kenny Warren, Ab McDonald, and later Doug Moens. Those players were like family, as
yes.
I know. And did your dad keep in touch with all of them?
Yes. Uncle Kenny just called. Well, little Kenny called a couple weeks ago. And we just saw at McDonald a week ago. And he and my Aunt Pat come into town for, we laugh because they are the guests that never leave. Ab and Pat McDonald. We love them, but they come into town and they say they're staying a couple days. And 2 weeks later, they're still at my parents' house. Yeah, it's that fraternity of hockey players is pretty amazing, and it's a strong bond.
And so, Glenn Hall was very close to your
dad. Yes, and we just talked to Uncle Glenn. He's lives up in Stony Plain, and I'm good friends with his granddaughter and his children. And
he had a grandson that played for the Chicago Wolves?
He did. Oh, yes, he did.
Yeah,
yes.
For a year.
Yeah, so it's not just their friendships. It's the ones that trickle down within the kids and grandkids, and we all pretty much still stay in touch.
That was a highlight of mine. I remember being at your sister's wedding at Medina, and Glenn Hall was sitting next to me, not far away from me, and he moved the table, Jane, some point throughout the night, and he was showing everybody how he would go down into a butterfly, spin around, and spring right back up. And to see that, he was probably in his late 60s.
Yeah.
To see that, it was pretty crazy.
Must have been early in the evening.
I think it was late in the evening, to be honest with you.
Maybe.
Your father, at 20 years of age, he wins the Stanley Cup in 1961. He was quoted for saying that he thought he was going to win it every year because it became easy, and it just never happened.
No, I think if he were to have regrets, he would maybe take that quote back because it's a tough game, and I think you think it's going to be there, and it's not.
Yeah, in 71 and 73, he got back to the finals against the Montreal Canadiens, and those were difficult losses, especially the 71 Cup. Went to the seventh game, and they lost 3-2. Did your dad ever talk about losing those two cups? Did it bother him?
To my knowledge, no. He never verbalized it to us. He might have when the guys got together, but never to our family. Hockey was at the rink, and when he came home, it was family time.
That's not, I like to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I hear that an awful lot. But I know for a fact to Cliff Coral, I've been in Keith Magnuson in the past, it haunted them for many, many years as far as losing both of those cups to Montreal.
Oh, it could have haunted my father. Yeah. He just never, he never shared it with us.
Yeah. I'm glad that he kind of left the game behind once it was over.
He was good with that. He wanted us to have his time. You know, everybody else got his time when he was away from us. So I think it was important to him to have that for us.
And I've seen athletes in the past not be able to get away from the game. So they obviously are bringing it home. So that point is tough on the family. We will be back in the crease with Jay Makita and your host Kenny McCudden after these messages.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic. No change on 394. Southbound lanes are blocked before Sauk Trail with an accident. Traffic is being diverted off at US 30. Also, US 30 ramps to southbound 394 are closed. Once again, southbound 394 blocked before Sauk Trail. In Lake Forest, traffic signals are flashing red at Route 41 and Old Elm Road. In Woodridge, there's a crash at 75th and Janes Avenue. On the northwest side, an accident at Belmont and Harlem. On the south side, a Level 1 hazmat situation at Hyde Park Boulevard and Greenwood. Also on the south side, earlier police activity at 71st and State. In Griffith, there's fire activity and report of an explosion at the 1500 block of Broad Street. Chicago weather, currently 63 degrees and mostly cloudy. Tonight, the low 57 and cloudy. Tomorrow, the high 68 with rain. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The Sean Hannity Show.
Don't you think there are certain fundamental prerequisites that you've got to have before negotiations even begin? If they're chanting death to America, doesn't that have to go away before you sit down at the table? You can't continue going on being the number one state sponsor of terror in the world as they continue to be today. You cannot be funding one terrorist group after another.
The Sean Hannity Show, afternoons at 2, right before Joe Walsh at 5, on AM 560, The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
In 2002, a National Sleep Foundation poll found that 63% of women experience symptoms of insomnia at least a few nights per week. In my opinion, a major reason for insomnia is the Blue Card. It's a shopping and loyalty card, and it's free. That's right, free. No charge, nada. Next, you can receive up to 5% cash back on purchases. Most cards only offer 2% at most. No wonder girls can't sleep. With the Blue Card, you can also get shopping points that you could use for online purchases. So it's cash back and shopping points. Am I keeping you awake? If you refer the Blue Card to someone, you could even earn money on their purchases. No, I'm serious. It's true. But it gets better. If you share the Blue Card with a merchant, you could earn on the purchases of everyone who uses the Blue Card at their store, too. There's no way you're going to get any sleep until you get your own free Blue Card. So call 800-685-7470 and order your free Blue Card so you can rest easy again. Call 800-685-7470.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back and you are in the crease with your host, Kenny McCudden. This part of our program is brought to you by Scott Sandler and his partners at Coco 5, all-natural coconut water. Developed by a team of professional NHL sports medicine experts, Coco 5 is your healthy hydration drink alternative. My guest is Jane Makita, and we've been talking about one of Chicago's greatest athletes, Stan Makita. Jane, your father was involved with a hearing-impaired hockey school for many years. How did that come about?
My Uncle Irv, a very good family friend, they had three kids, and their youngest son, Lex, was hearing-impaired. And he played on a hearing team, but they weren't that receptive or welcoming, and my uncle thought that if my son is being treated this way, there's got to be other kids out there like that. And so my uncle approached my dad and asked if he would help use Stan's name and put it on the, the headboard, so to speak, of for this camp.
On the marquee.
Yeah, and that's how it started.
And he brought in several pros.
Well, it started with, I don't even think the first camp had 30 kids. And Ricky McGahee was one of the first ones. Mark Pryor, a boy, now a man from around this area, were some of the first students. And, they brought in Bobby Orr and Maggie and Cliff and
Gino Briaco.
Yep, Ubi was there, and now Tony Granato was very involved with the school. So many, many names.
And your dad's still active with it?
No, my dad, after the 30 years, decided that he needed to, let someone younger come in and lend their time, and that's what he did.
He changed a lot of lives. I've taught a few kids out in Geneva that their father was hearing impaired, and he was taught by your father and taught by Gene Ubriaco, and he said it changed his life.
I think the school was not about hockey. I think it was hockey was secondary. I think it was about trying to make however many boys and girls that come to the camp each year feel like they are, accepted, and there are other people out there like them, and they can gain friendships and lifelong, lessons from this camp. My maid of honor in my wedding was the sister of one of the first boys at the camp.
There
She's
it is.
One of my best friends. So yeah. It's not just about hockey.
And I knew Lex well, Irv's son. I knew Lex in a way where I played against him and played with him, and classy individual. Where is he today?
Lex is still in the area. His sister Amy bought the company, Uncle Irv's Leon Sausage, which is now Sausage by Amy Lou. Got to give her a plug. Lex still works over there, still lives locally, married to Margie.
That's great.
Yeah, he still goes to the camp every year.
Yeah, so the years of that school has changed many lives, probably thousands.
I would think so.
Jim Kite, who played for the Winnipeg Jets,
came out of that program. He came in and helped a couple years.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's terrific.
There are some great people.
Jane, I've got to tell you a story. 7 years ago, I was in Toronto watching a Leaf Canadian game, and it was for the Hockey Hall of Fame weekend, and I happened to be sitting with Jean Beliveau for three periods, and you just don't forget something like that. And there was a rope behind us where many fans were trying to get his autograph, but he was so classy that in between periods he would sign. But we spoke about the game of the past. We spoke about the game today, players of the past, players of today. And he said to me that the greatest player he ever played against, pound for pound, happened to be Stan Makita. That was a quote. And I shared that with your father shortly after, and I think your father is quite surprised. And we know Jean Beliveau just passed away there a few months back. But how does that make you feel?
Proud.
Big number four.
Yeah, to hear it from such a great player and human being as Jean, that, my dad he's just my dad. He's not Stan Makita. He's I don't look at it that way. So it's a little humbling, I guess, to hear that. So
yeah, and it happened to be his very first face-off, too, because I saw your dad on video not too long ago saying that Rudy Pillis, which was before the Billy Ray days, threw him on the ice, and he said, me? And he went out there, and he said he looked up, and it was Jean Beliveau, and he says he looked at knees, then he looked at the chest, and the head didn't stop, and it was, obviously your dad 5'9", and Jean Beliveau 6'3", at that time, which was like 7 feet today.
Absolutely.
So
I have a trivia question for you. Who was Wayne Gretzky's first face-off against?
I'd have to say your dad.
Yeah, and who won it?
I'd have to say your dad.
He did. Last year at the playoffs, in the suite that they were in, L.A. was playing Chicago, and Wayne went up to my parents and said, do you remember that I faced off against you, and you won, and I remember it? And
well,
so, yeah, that's pretty cool.
The beauty about that is the technical side is that both of them did not reverse their hand. Today, a lot of face-off specialists and a lot of players reverse their bottom hand.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of kids copy that. But the problem with that, Jane, is they can't go forward with the puck, meaning they can't get control of it. Your dad and Wayne Gretzky were very traditional with the way they held their hands. So that's a great little trivia question.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I love to hear that. I describe your father as having great hockey sense and vision, great hands, very crafty, a chip on his shoulder. Does that pretty well wrap him up?
Yes, and I would add a little tweak of glimmer in his eye, whether it's good or bad. He just a little sneakiness, I guess I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Even to this day, he still has that.
No, that's terrific. And that glimmer, I'm sure, came from, chasing a guy down the ice.
Probably.
Giving him a hook here and there and a spear here and there.
It could be the, haha, I still have some of it in me, the bad guy, but
I believe that.
Going to keep it tamed. So.
Well, that's what has kept your dad going all these years, that he's got a little moxie still in him.
He does. Yes, he does.
Which I love. I have to say that your father and Bobby Hull once owned this city at one point, and I mean for many years as athletes.
I've heard that. I'd like to say I'm too young to know that, but I don't know. Growing up, my parents, we didn't go to a lot of hockey games. We got to go for a birthday, or back then there weren't matinees, so sometimes they'd have a 6 o'clock game on a Sunday, but the games were always Wednesday and
That's
Sunday.
Right. That's right.
Always. The home games. And so we didn't go to a lot of games, and I don't...
With the occasional afternoon game at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, but
afternoon.
I don't, I've heard that, but I don't...
I think I pretty well wrapped him up, and before I go into a show, I like to kind of go back in time and read some books and read some magazines, and many players were describing the group, the 1-2... punch. And your dad usually took a second fiddle to Bobby Hull when it came to the articles. But there was one article that I read the other day that your father says, if I take the number two spot to Bobby Hull, that's not a bad thing. But deep down inside, I don't believe I'm number two.
Well, and that's probably what you have to believe,
Which I definitely believe. Your father played in 1,394 games in his 21 years, plus 8 games early in his career. So it spanned basically 22 years. He scored 541 goals. He had 926 assists for 1,467 points. He's the all-time leader still with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Correct.
I think that record's going to stay for quite a while. Because Dennis Savard's not playing.
Yeah, they've got some great talent out there nowadays, and depending how long they play and injuries. But pretty impressive stats.
A 9-time All-Star. He won the Art Ross Trophy as the league's leading scorer in 64, 65, 67, and 68. Won the Lady Byng in 67 and 68. And won the Lester Patrick in 76, which is services to U.S. hockey. And that means an awful lot to me when I see players winning that, because I was involved with the women's Olympic team there in Sochi last year. And I think it's quite an honor to get that trophy. And the trophy's gorgeous. It's Lester Patrick himself, and it stands like 4 feet high, and it sits in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And I'm sure it's pretty special to win.
It is. I think that my parents have a replica. It's just smaller.
A smaller
one.
Yeah.
My mom has that.
Yeah. Your father was just an incredible player, and he honed his craft to be the very, very best. He worked hard at it, and I believe it all came from his early age coming over, being pushed around a little bit, and never wanted to be pushed around in life, period.
I agree.
Would you definitely say that?
I would agree. Yeah.
Did he instill that in the kids?
Definitely. Meg, my sister, you've referred to, my dad wrote a book called I Play to Win.
Yep.
And in there, he had a quote about how he didn't think it was as important for women to go to college as it was for men and boys. And long story short, when Meg was going off to college, she photographed that and put it all over the house. And I don't think he meant it at the time that he did it and said it. And it pushed all of us to have to be better people.
No, that's great. We will return after these messages with Jay Makita. You are listening to In the Crease Hockey Radio.
So in the last few weeks, you may have found yourself switching back and forth between radio stations, not quite sure where you should be spending your time. Yeah, well, we're here to clear up any confusion. There's just one radio station in this town talking about the stories that matter, from what's happening in Washington to what's happening on Wall Street to what's happening right here in Chicago. And that station is this one, AM 560, The Answer.
Fox News Radio. I'm Steve Rappaport. The wait is over.
I'm hitting the road to earn your vote.
Hillary Clinton jumps into the 2016 race.
Now that she is a candidate, potential rivals are reacting, including former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. He's already taken to Twitter to criticize the Democratic frontrunner.
We must do better than the Obama-Clinton foreign policy that has damaged relationships with our allies and embolden our enemies.
Bush has yet to officially enter the race himself. A recent Fox News poll has Clinton and Bush tied.
Fox Radio's Gernal Scott. Meanwhile, Senate Republican Marco Rubio of Florida is expected to announce his campaign on Monday. Gas prices continue to slide.
In the past 3 weeks, the average price is down 5 cents to $2.45 per gallon. This makes a total of 9 cents drop over 5 weeks.
Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic. No change on 394. Southbound lanes are blocked before Sauk Trail with an accident, and now they have traffic diverted off at US 30. Also, the US 30 ramps to southbound 394 are closed. Traveling northbound on 394 at Sauk Trail, we have gapers delays. In Lake Forest, traffic signals are flashing red at Route 41 and Old Elm Road. In Woodridge, they have a couple of accidents, one at 75th and Janes Avenue, the other at Forest Glen and Larchwood. On the northwest side, report of an accident at Belmont and Harlem. On the south side, earlier, level one hazmat at Hyde Park Boulevard and Greenwood. In Griffith, fire activity at the 1500 block of Broad Street. That's in northwest Indiana. Chicago weather currently 63 degrees and mostly cloudy. Overnight, the low 57. Tomorrow, the high 68 with showers. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection. Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at GardenFreshMarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. At deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
Our family had a savings account until our air conditioner needed replacing.
We had a vacation fund before our refrigerator had a meltdown.
My family has no savings and our water heater just quit. Sadly, sometimes it only takes one home system or appliance breakdown to bust your budget. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield protects more of your hard-earned money because they help pay your covered repairs for you. For valuable free information, call 1-800-552-2216. Who wants to pour money into repairs for things like your air conditioner, refrigerator, plumbing, oven, or washer when you get the budget protection you deserve from American Home Shield? Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade called. Some exclusions and limitations apply. It's up to you. Pay for expensive home system and appliance repairs yourself, or let American Home Shield help pay covered repairs for you. Protect more of your hard-earned money. Call for valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, at 1-800-552-2216. That's 1-800-552-2216.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back in the crease with your host, Kenny McCutton. Tonight, we have been sharing hockey stories with my guest, Jay Makita. Jane, what do you remember most about your dad's playing days?
I remember that mostly Wednesdays and Sundays, and we always had the same game day meal, which was steak, potatoes, corn, and a salad.
A raw steak.
Well, he ate a raw steak, but the rest of us ate the way we liked it. And I remember him getting hurt and being home one time, and one of us did something at school, and he had to come to school to pick us up. It was me in particular. And somebody said, well, why is your dad here? It's the middle of the day. And I said, well, my dad has different office hours than you do. I didn't really know what my dad did. It was a different era. I'm 46. So we didn't grow up in an age where, you know, social media was
right.
was everything. And all that I knew was that my dad traveled and played a game, so to speak.
That reminds me of a story when I interviewed Marty Howe a few weeks back when he was 5 years old. A reporter called the house, and Marty picked the phone up, and he says, is your father there, the reporter said. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, my dad's at work. And he says, oh, he is. He goes, yeah. And he goes, the actual guy says, so he's at the rink. He goes, well, yeah, I think so, but he's just a hockey player. That's all he is. And so
absolutely.
Same, know, is, the same
yes,
exact thing.
I would say the same thing.
Yeah. And I think that's where he probably wanted you all to be, just to kind of keep you away from that.
He had
two sides
so.
Of his life that way.
Well, he did. And you know, the one thing that my parents instilled in all of us, I would say two things, is one, everybody puts on their pants the same way, and that's one leg at a time. And the second thing, probably more importantly, was that if there weren't fans there to fill those seats, we wouldn't have probably been able to enjoy the life that we had if they
yeah.
weren't, you know, there to buy those tickets. And that was something that we were always reminded of, that you got to watch your mouth in the stands and wear, you know, nicer clothes and represent your family and in the organization in a good manner.
And he has done that for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the Chicago's bench as a trainer with Louis Vargan, Skip Thayer during that time. And it was 1980. Your father's number was retired, the very first one to be retired. You as a family were all on the ice. Do you remember
Correct.
That?
I do.
Yeah?
I do.
I know
plaid
that
plaid skirt. Yeah, it was. I don't think at the time I understood what it was, but now, as an adult and having children, and you know, it's the highest honor you could achieve.
And it was retired basically almost about a year and a half after he played.
I think so.
Very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Bill Wirtz.
Yeah,
he liked your
yes,
father
he did.
An awful lot.
He did, and it was a great honor.
No, that's terrific. I have a few of your father's sticks at home, and carbon fiber sticks today are super light, but your father's sticks, whether they be Northlands or CCMs at the time, were the same way. And
mm-hmm.
the reason why, he honed them.
Correct.
Like a craftsman, like Bob Vila from
yep.
this old house.
Yep.
And I brought a stick to your dad maybe 4 or 5 years ago. He was actually at a Wolves game with the Mullins family, and it was a stick probably from 1967, 68, that season. And he says, Kenny, do you know how long it took me to hone this stick down with a rasp? I said, no, Stan. He says, most likely about a half an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was.
Wow.
It's a piece of art.
Absolutely.
And it was with the big banana
sure.
blade on it, which your dad gets an awful lot of credit for, and with the creation of the curved stick.
He does that and being one of the first, if not the first, to wear a helmet.
Yeah, and I want to go into that in a
yeah.
second. With the curved stick, Andy Bathgate and him have gone
yes,
back and
forth
a little
correct.
Bit of who curved the stick
yes.
first, but Andy Bathgate supposedly had a little bend in his sticks. And he claims that your dad came to New York and didn't have any sticks and had to use Andy Bathgate's sticks for the game with a slight little with a slight little bend. It was more of an offset. But your dad's story is that he actually broke the stick in the door jam.
Right.
Didn't want to go down the 21 stairs or 22 stairs to the locker room at the old stadium. And he fired a couple of pucks with that broken banana blade.
Right.
And he noticed the puck that was dipping. And the rest was history from
there. Yeah, and then he and then Bobby wanted one.
Yeah.
So Stan, they stayed around at the locker room and tinkered with the stick and heated it up and put it under the door jam and curved it. And
yeah, they were heating them up with torches and a hydroculator. And that caused a problem because everybody noticed the way they were both shooting the puck. Puck was curving. The puck was dipping.
Yep.
And many others started from there, whether it be Rod Gilbert with the big hook from there to other greats. And it literally changed the game because it was frightening for the goalies.
It was very frightening. And I know Uncle Glenn said he didn't want to be on the receiving end of their, you know, their slap shots.
Yeah, I was talking to Jerry Sawchuk about that recently, and he says his dad used to stand on the side of the net, not even to get
hit.
Oh,
I believe it.
In practice.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's probably dangerous.
Well, yeah, because it's dipping so much.
Sure.
And Bobby Hull was able to shoot from center ice and still...
And he was so strong.
Yeah, still be able to hit a corner because he's shooting at 100 miles an hour. But he wouldn't be if it was a straighter stick.
No, absolutely not.
So definitely, I think many players in the past have claimed that your dad, you know, was the creation of the curve stick.
I think he'll take that.
And they called it the banana hook because they can curve it to any extent that they wanted. We will be back in the crease with Jay Makita after this break.
Get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Maria Arnold with your look at traffic. No change on 394. Southbound lanes are blocked before Sauk Trail with an accident. Traffic is being diverted off at US 30. Also, US 30 ramps to southbound 394 are closed. On the northbound side of 394 at Sauk Trail, there's gapers delays. In Lake Forest, traffic signals still flashing red at the intersection of Route 41 and Old Elm Road. In Woodridge, they have a crash at Forest Glen Parkway and Larchwood. On the northwest side, earlier accident at Belmont and Harlem. On the south side, earlier level one hazmat situation at Hyde Park Boulevard and Greenwood, and earlier police activity at 71st and State. Chicago weather, currently 63 degrees and mostly cloudy. Overnight, the low 57. Tomorrow, the high 68 with showers, possibly thunderstorms. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Most grocery stores lack that special something. So often, you're disappointed for many reasons. High prices, no selection? Since when has going to the grocery store become displeasing? At Garden Fresh Market, you'll be pleasantly surprised all over again with your grocery shopping experience. From hand-picked produce and on-site butchers to premium seafood and popular brand named fare. At Garden Fresh Market, you'll get the best selection of every product you need. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Find a store near you at GardenFreshMarket.com.
You hear it every day. This sports drink makes you run faster. And this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5. All-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5. Hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, on cholesterol medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $22 a month.
Call 1-800-919-8949 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-919-8949. 1-800-919-8949. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back in the crease and skating in the past with the career of Stan Mikita. I am Kenny McCudden, and this portion of our program is brought to you by our friends at Garden Fresh Market. Choose from thousands of items that include your favorite name brands and the freshest hand-picked produce. Visit your local Garden Fresh Market and find out why Fresh is their middle name. Jane, we were talking about the creation of the hook, the curved stick. Your dad was one of the first ones to wear a helmet.
Right.
He had his ear nipped off and sewn back on, and that led to him going into business with the Rydell Company and designing a helmet.
Correct. Well, I have one of them in my basement. My kids wear it downstairs.
It's probably the one that he wore.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And Uncle Ab just gave him a green one. Yeah, it was, you know, my dad said, if you're going to get hit, you got to protect your head. And, you know, he played all those years without it and finally woke up and said, better do something. So
I wore one as a kid, and it was one of the very first helmets with suspension built into it. And then later on in years, it went to a foam.
Correct.
And I was talking to Mark Hardy yesterday, which is, he's one of the assistant coaches for the Chicago Wolves.
Okay.
And he wore your father's helmet
for
many years. And he said every time, this is in yesterday's practice we spoke, says every time you got hit and your forehead got compressed with the foam, he says a sheet full of sweat would just go right down your face after you were hit. And I said, well, the ones with the suspension didn't have that.
Okay.
So
I didn't play hockey, so I don't know anything about helmets.
Yeah, and it was actually called the Stan Mikita helmet.
He had the signature
on the back. And I wore one with a padding like 2 inches off the back. So if you struck your head, the padding hit the ice first before the helmet.
That is the one I have in my basement.
Your father got into a completely different business after his playing days, the golf business. I know he loved golf. Still playing a little bit?
No, not so much anymore.
Okay.
But golf was definitely a huge passion. Yeah, he was a good golfer, great golfer, very smooth swing.
Yeah, and I used to play with him at Kemper Lakes, and he hired me for 4 summers. And at the time of my life, working underneath your dad, some days he was tough on me, and other days he was very, very good with me. And he was actually terrific with me. And I've got a story about playing golf with your dad. We were on number 6 at Kemper once, and he was a gamemanship type of player. And I want to say that day was a 7-iron on the par 3 that day. And your dad carves in a 5-iron left to right, and I looked in his bag to see what he hit. And he put it only about 10 feet away with a 5-iron. So I said, gosh, I don't think this is a 5-iron. So I pulled out a 6, and I blew it over the green. That was typical of your dad.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that if that's not gamemanship to its fullest.
And he does that with me, too.
What made him go into the golf business? I mean, he was director of golf at Kemper Lakes there for many years.
He was. And to be quite honest, I don't remember what got him into the business. He became friends with a gentleman by the name of Bob Spence, who was the pro up at Kemper
him.
At the time. And I think, you know, just his love of the game. And he did get his pro teaching card and then got his amateur standing back.
He used to call me from Florida the odd time about picking up a classic club. He knew that I collected. He would say, Kenny, I ran into this Tommy Armour putter. He goes, here's the serial number. You're the only guy in the world that will know it. And he would rattle it off. And I'd say, Stan, that's from 1950 to 53. It was worth $400 back then, but it's only worth $25
now. Absolutely.
Nobody wants to putt with it. And he'd say, I can get it for free off of this guy. I go, get it.
I get it.
And your dad would end up playing with stuff like that.
He would. He loved the game and the tradition and everything that came along with it.
And I know he took that position at Kemper very serious. And
he did.
Yeah. I mean,
He loved being up there. It just was a haul from our house. And in the end, it just wasn't, you know, where he wanted to be, but it was a great run while he was there, and great golf course, beautiful golf course. We enjoyed it.
My highlight, going in, checking in one day, I walked into his office, and I saw a guy bending down, tying his shoes, and your dad said, you waved me into the big office, and he says, Kenny, I want you to meet Arnold Palmer.
Oh, that's cool.
Arnold Palmer came that day to play a few holes,
sure.
and I believe play the following day in an outing with United Airlines. And I was able to go out in the practice tee with Arnold Palmer, your dad, and I have pictures to this day of all three of us and many of Arnie hitting balls. I mean, what a treat.
Absolutely.
What a treat.
I could have been there.
And your mother played?
My mom plays.
You played?
I play. Well, my parents thought that when we were younger that we grew up at Medina, and they wanted us to play golf. They figured at some point it would be a great tool for business.
Tell me about your husband. He's in the game.
Yeah, my husband's a caddy on the PGA Tour.
Where's he caddy for?
Bill Haas.
Yeah.
They're at the Masters this week. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a great guy. Yeah, young talent.
Yeah.
Hits it a ton. He's been out there a long time, yeah.
Well, mate, since you're not making it to the Masters, maybe you make it to St. Andrews when I'm there.
Yeah.
In July.
I would like that.
You should.
I know.
I mean, that's a treat in itself.
I know it
in
is.
In every way. Are your kids playing?
Oh, yeah.
They're
yeah.
playing hockey and golf.
My parents have 9 grandchildren, 6
yeah.
girls and 3 boys.
Yeah.
And mine are the only boys, and mine play competitive golf and hockey, travel hockey.
And I believe I'm going to see a couple of them this summer.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that pleased your father that the kids are grandkids are playing
you know,
hockey and golf.
I'll tell you this quick. My older brother Scott played golf, mm-hmm. Hockey, and he was young, 6 years old, and he was crying when my dad came home from a trip. My dad said, "What is wrong?" And my brother said, "The coach asked me, how come I'm not as good as you?" And my brother quit hockey that day, and my dad, from then on, never believed in organized sports.
Mm.
My dad loved seeing my kids play, but now I understand his reasoning as to the parents or the coaches in the background pushing.
And I'm sure it was difficult on Scott having the last name Makita.
It probably was, sure.
Him, like
sure.
so many athletes' kids.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
I mean, that's
and not only in hockey. So, yeah.
Bobby Orr was very similar to that, not having his children play
sure.
the game at all. You have been listening to Jay Makita, Standing in the Crease, with your host, Kenny McCutton. We will be right back.
Every day, this sports drink makes you run faster, and this drink makes you jump higher. Enough already. Introducing Coco 5. Coco 5, all-natural coconut water in 6 thirst-quenching flavors. No additives, preservatives, or sugary fructose corn syrup gunk. Coco 5, hydrate like the pros.
Available at your local grocer.
You've been hearing about Garden Fresh Market and their huge variety of fresh produce, but you'll be pleased to know that you can find all of your favorite brand name products too. Don't worry about getting the most for your money anymore. The value at Garden Fresh Market has changed the way Chicagoland grocery shops. A deli, choice meats, fresh fish, there's something for the whole family to enjoy with prices that will assure that you keep coming back. Garden Fresh Market. Fresh is their middle name. Visit GardenFreshMarket.com to find a location near you.
In the early 60s, Dolores and Ray Butcher and their 3 daughters earned a trip to Disneyland by collecting S&H green stamps. It was a dream come true. Today, nearly everyone has a wallet or keychain full of loyalty reward cards that they use for discounts, gifts, and even free dinners at their favorite restaurants. For years, an international company has been offering a universal loyalty rewards card in Europe. We call it the Blue Card, one card to replace dozens. The Blue Card offers discounts up to 5% cash back. It even accumulates points to shop at participating merchants and an online mall. Today, they're looking for independent representatives to launch this card in the U.S. and Canada. It is free to get the card and free to become a representative. You could help launch the Blue Card in your area and get paid wherever it is used. Imagine you could be paid every time someone fills their gas tank, buys groceries, orders an airline ticket, or purchases just about anything. To get your free card and more information, call 800-685-7470. 800-685-7470.
AM 560, The Answer.
We are back and in the crease with Kenny McCutton and Jay Makita. It's been a lot of fun talking about your dad's career, not only as a hockey player, which is the obvious, but a family man, which is important for me to hear that side of your dad.
It has been. Thanks.
Yeah. Your father has been an ambassador to the Chicago Blackhawks for the last maybe 3 or 4 years, him and mm-hmm. Bobby Hull, Tony Esposito, Dennis Savard. What did that mean to your dad once those statues were erected on the northeast corner of the United Center?
Well, I think when John McDonough first called and asked to, quote-unquote, welcome, you know, Stan and Bobby back to be ambassadors, that was incredible. And I know my dad was speechless. And then when they received the letter saying that they were going to have the statue, I know my dad had no words. He just, I mean, to have something there that is not going to go away, and maybe people don't know who he is, but they go by the United Center and clearly see the Jordan statue and then walk around the corner and there's Bobby and Stan. It's they are beautiful, beautiful, impressive statues that both my parents had a chance to partake in the making of, and the Blackhawks were welcoming of that. And they're just...
And the footage on that and the video that was done was magnificent.
Yeah, they did a great job with it.
Well, the kids...
Even down to the laces.
Yeah, I know.
The way he tied them.
I know. What year do you think they tried to grab as far as the statue itself?
Picture-wise?
Picture-wise.
They didn't. They took different pictures in the studio. They had like a collage of pictures.
Yeah.
And there was just different pictures of his skates. But he always tied them the same way. And there were different pictures of his face and the eyes. But they got it down to a T.
Oh, it's amazing. And the Bobby Hall one itself.
Bobby's is beautiful as well.
Yeah. And it's something for not only your brothers and sisters to see, but your grandchildren.
For sure.
I should say your children and your dad's grandchildren. I mean, it's an amazing thing to look at for many, many years.
It is. Again, they don't quite understand it. They just go down and go, oh, that's Stan. You know, all the kids, it's just their grandpa to them. So it is, it's humbling to go down there, but it's also very special, and it's quite an honor.
And I know it meant an awful lot to your dad to be able to be partaking in the 2 Stanley Cups as of late with the Chicago Blackhawks.
You know, he's a silent partner, so to speak. He enjoyed watching the guys out there now. He doesn't like to get involved or give any advice. He feels he had his time, but he certainly enjoyed watching, you know, all the games and going down and partaking in festivities, for sure.
You told me a story a few weeks ago that your father was skating at the Christmas party.
Yeah, on December 17th, yeah. Yeah, he was.
And he was skating with your kids?
My kids, yeah.
Yeah. And he was wheeling around, no problem?
Yeah, he was, you know, slower than normal, but his equilibrium at the time was, he was doing fine, yeah.
How's your father's health today?
He is okay. He is happy in the place that he is in. Mm-hmm. He clearly was diagnosed with suspected dementia with Lewy body, which is eventually their mind goes and then Parkinson's will set in. So... it is what it is, Kenny. It's a sad, realistic.
Yeah, I'm sad to hear that myself, and hopefully there's some help along the way.
There is, and you know, happily Stan is very happy in the world that he is in and the world that he lives, and we have wonderful people helping take care of him, and you know, just keep him in your prayers. That's all we can ask.
And I will definitely do that. And Jane, I want to thank you and your family for doing this show, and I'd actually like to do another show about your dad because this one goes so quickly.
Okay, thanks, Kenny. Maybe Meg can be in town next time.
I would love that, or have Scott or
Scott and Chris, absolutely.
That would be terrific. I want to thank my producer, Debbie Schreiner, for passing me the puck like Stan Mikita all night, which means an awful lot to me. I am Kenny McCutton, and you can contact me at icecompanyhockey.net. We will be back with In the Crease next Sunday at 11 p.m., keep your head up, and good night.
Most grocery stores lack that